Kid Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Thursday, March 21st, 2024. I don't know if you're seeing what I see, but I see recruitment of the Clash of Civilizations. I mentioned a lot of things, actually, in the first hour. Not the least of which, one of Richard Sakwa's latest entries titled The End of Endism. And again, you know, Richard Sakwa is the guy who famously observed in his book Frontline Ukraine, Crisis in the Borderlands, NATO exists to manage the threats created by its existence. Truer words were never spoke. How can we get rid of it? Speaking of one of those circular reasoning fallacies, what if everybody did their stuff for free? What if all of the pastors did it all for free? What if all of the foreign policy experts did it all for free? There's no reason you and I can't be a foreign policy expert of a fashion. There's the constant effort to dissuade us from doing that and to mislead us. One, you know, critical example, speaking of Ukraine, that I mentioned yesterday, that is absolutely disturbing, but par for the course. You know, if it's not true, maybe it's not true, but if it is, it's horrifying. I mentioned yesterday from Kit Clarenberg's Gray Zone article, Ukrainian trial demonstrates 2014 Maidan massacre was false flag, that from the trial documents, it seems that, you know, we heard early on that it was Yanukovych's Berkut forces that were shooting the protesters. Yanukovych's police force, Berkut forces, were shooting the protesters. But from the court documents, actually, the positions that were from which the sniping was being done, the protesters were being shot, those positions were not held by Berkut forces, not by Yanukovych's contingent. It was actually the resistance, air quotes, contingent. So basically what you have here is just another, you know, like I said yesterday, it's like a Northwoods kind of a situation where they march these people in. This is the same thing that happens all the time. You have a protest and they're told one thing and, you know, you march them in. You know they're going to be there because you bring them in. You hire them. Crowdsondemand.com, that kind of thing. You march them in and you start shooting your own fish in a barrel. And then, I mean, that wasn't bad enough. Then those same, you know, from Kit Clarenberg's article, during the Maidan trial, defense lawyers made prominent mention of those same Georgian mercenary snipers, along with Maidan leaders and Western-backed fascist paramilitary right sectors. The snipers were also implicated in the May 2014 Odessa massacre. So the heading of that section is titled Maidan Killers Move to Odessa. So they go from there to Odessa. This is, you know, So, you know, this is the kind of thing that I think that I find reprehensible and despicable in military service. How many times have people in recent years tried to blow the whistle on this kind of stuff only to find themselves a pariah or maybe, you know, get themselves perished trying to expose these kinds of things? Here's what we were doing. Oh, you can't say that. Really, we can't expose evil? You're not supposed to, you know, so the idea is you're not supposed to obey evil orders. Talked about this in the past. Malevolent orders. But, you know, this is the problem. I tried to explain this a little bit. Ben Suit, you know, his quote, we played the clip yesterday of Ben Suit, who's over at the Brown University Watson Institute Costs of War Project. And he's right, you know, when he talks about how when Dan Richards asked him, what role does the military's culture play in exacerbating this issue? And they're talking about suicide in particular, the mental problems that people are having. Richards says, have there been changes in the culture of the military over the last 20 years that have contributed to the rise in suicide rates? And Ben Suit, his answer was brilliant. He said the military is very good at creating what sociologists would call the warrior identity. They say you're leaving that civilian identity behind, or any of your other identities that you carry, and you're becoming a soldier or a Marine or an airman in the military. So that's your new identity. And it's not something that's taken lightly, or, you know, it's a fraternal order. It's a religious, your allegiance is to this group above all others. But that's patently unchristian, by the way. And it's also what gangs do, which is interesting. So, you know, Ben goes on and he says, you know, with the wars like World War II and Vietnam, there was conscription. This is why there won't be a draft anymore in America. Because effort justification bias works much better than a draft. What do you mean? It's the IKEA effect. You did it. You helped make it. Like masks and boosters. We helped end COVID. That's what the propaganda says. You know, do your part to end COVID. Wear a mask and get 17 boosters. If you can get 57, even better, because you're helping end COVID. It's effort justification bias. It's complete nonsense. So you're participating, and therefore, you know, you volunteered for this, and therefore, in this case. So Ben Suit said where there's, you know, in the previously there was conscription, you know, where there's conscription, he said there's going to be a sense that you're holding on to your other, you know, civilian identities more than in a post-conscription world now, where when you joined the military, you chose it. That's a brilliant observation. Great, great answer to the question, what role does the military's culture play? And it works, it functions like a gang. And so people get beguiled into doing things that they shouldn't and wouldn't otherwise do. This is why we have a suicide epidemic, not because we're defending Bernaysian freedom and democracy around the world. Come on. Let's quit being naive. And if this is happening, why are we sending Junior to sign up? Here's maybe this is what I should do from now on. When somebody asks, you know, should Junior enlist in the military? there's always the delicious benefits on the periphery. The question I think maybe I'll ask from now on is, would you have Junior do it for nothing? What do you mean? Well, I mean, no pay, or let's do it Smedley Butler's way. Let's say that during the entire tenure of Junior's military service, Junior is paid as an E-1 and doesn't get any benefits. No lifetime this or that, no, you know, money for college, no other delicious benefits. Would you still advocate Junior do this? Well, no, of course not. Well, why not? Such a great idea. If it's so patriotic and so important, do it for nothing. But, you know, that's not the case, is it? Anyway, we should play the clips. So, the clips back to back. If we can do the clips. The first one, this is how it actually works. Yeah, I'm sending the other one. So first, Patrick Claussen on the traditional way America gets to war. What's best for U.S. interests? And then we'll do Howard Zinn on who defines what U.S. interests, you know, what constitutes U.S. interests. Go ahead with Patrick Claussen, please.
I frankly think that crisis initiation is really tough. And it's very hard for me to see how the United States president can get us to war with Iran. Which leads me to conclude that if, in fact, compromise is not coming, that the traditional way of America gets to war is what would be best for U.S. interests. Some people might think that Mr. Roosevelt wanted to get us into World War II, as David mentioned. You may recall we had to wait for Pearl Harbor. Some people might think Mr. Wilson wanted to get us into World War I. You may recall he had to wait for the Lusitania episode. Some people might think that Mr. Johnson wanted to send troops to Vietnam. You may recall he had to wait for the Gulf of Tonkin episode. We didn't go to war with Spain until the USS, until the Maine exploded. And may I point out that Mr. Lincoln did not feel he could call out the Federal Army until Fort Sumter was attacked, which is why he ordered the commander at Fort Sumter to do exactly that thing which the South Carolinians had said would cause an attack. So if, in fact, the Iranians aren't going to compromise, it would be best if somebody else started the war.
Cue uncomfortable laughter. Insane. Best for U.S. interests if someone else started the war. You know, and so back in 2018 in that 328 National Intel Report, you know, we episode hour two, we played that clip and John said, well, you know, who starts the war then? And basically it's enter false flag Manchurian Patsy here. You know, because it's what people don't understand. You can be a foreign policy expert. It's not that complicated, really. If you just have eyes to see and ears to hear. What do you mean? What I mean is it's the same old misdirection all the time. In this case, you know, who starts the war is, you know, we should ask Alan Watt. Are you talking, you know, good starter or real starter kind of thing? You know, it's high hop, lie hop, my hop, help it happen on purpose, lie hop, high hop, my hop, help it or let it happen, help it happen or make it happen on purpose. Do you have an example? Yeah. One of the probably the best example is Brzezinski admitting that, well, you know, publicly we were told that the Soviets invaded in 79, and 6 months later we went in to support the Afghan people. But he said in reality we started training the Mujahideen in, what was it, the summer of 79, I think. And then 6 months after we started, the Soviets invaded. And so he said, we didn't force the Soviets into Afghanistan, but we created a situation that made it virtually impossible for them not to intervene. Then what happened? He said, after I heard that the Soviets invaded Afghanistan, I called Jimmy Carter and said, congratulations, we've given the Soviets their Vietnam War. And what are the implications of that over the last 20 years for us here in America? Like I said yesterday, according to, speaking of Brown University's Cost of War project, they estimate the cost of the War on Terror, the GWAT, Global War on Terror, to us to be $8 trillion, which is about $1 billion a day over the last 20 years. Could we do something with $1 billion a day? Did you find a better use for $1 billion a day? And the studies all pretty much agree that, you know, where $8 trillion went, not sure. Same place it's going in Ukraine right now. That's where. To keep defense contractors going who don't defend anything. They offend. Offense contractors. Injuring ourselves. I digress. So, before, you know, without further ado, Howard Zinn on patriotism, who defines U.S. interests? Howard Zinn on patriotism. Go ahead, please.
The idea of patriotism assumes that the government and the citizens have the same interest. So if the government tells you something, well, it's in all our interest. There's a common interest. In fact, the language in the culture suggests that, tells you that. You hear politicians say, well, we'll go to war if it's in the national interest, meaning we all have the same interests, Exxon and I, General Motors and I, the president and the kid he sends to war, all have the same interests. You know, national security, security means the same thing to all of us. National defense, they have all these phrases that tie us all up into bundles of common interest when there really is no common interest, when the government has its interest, the corporations have their interest, and the ordinary citizen has interests which become put aside and become swept up in the government's interest. And the citizen begins to believe that, no, there's a common interest we all have. We're all one country. We're all Americans. And patriotism means we must all believe in the same things and do the same things and believe what the government says, because the government has our interest at heart, because the government has the same interests that we do. So take some work and take some thinking and take some studying of history to disabuse yourself of that and then to look at patriotism as something different, to realize that patriotism is not in its best meaning obedience to government. That patriotism in its best meaning means obedience, not obedience really, but support of the community, the people, the citizens, not the government, and support of the principles for which the government is supposed to stand, but which it really violates again and again. You know, basically the principles of the Declaration of Independence, and equality, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And patriotism should mean, in its best sense, support of those principles, which means that when the government acts against those principles, the government is being unpatriotic. And if people begin to understand patriotism in that way, they would not rush to war. As soon as some leader of government got up before a microphone and says, oh, we must go to war to fight for democracy or liberty or whatever.
Perfect. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Did you know The IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in five easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Mr. Bordop makes a good point. You know, he says, I like how Clausen uses the phrase, get us to war, like it's some goal or destination. Exactly. This is what I'm talking about. Is this really, is this what you want to send your children off to? And like I said, honestly, when I watch McKenzie and Milley on the 19th discussing the withdrawal, It's not really a withdrawal. We left billions of dollars of stuff behind in Gladio archetype sort of fashion. So those things can be used. You know, you got to have some enemies. Just ask the Club of Rome. We got to weaponize everybody everywhere. Everyone has to be a good bot. So you leave that kind of stuff behind. You have your, you know, there are no sides from Shooter, the movie Shooter. Ned Beatty's character, Senator Charles Meacham. What side are you on, Senator? There are no sides. There are no Democrats or Republicans, no Sunnis and Shiites. There are only haves and have-nots. You might as well be on the side that gets you well paid, Gunny. So it's interesting, you know, Patrick Clausen says, get us to war. So fine. Again, you know, let's all do it for free. You lead the charge, buddy. You know, I said yesterday, if the world really worked the way that we're led to, you know, if it wasn't vampires trying to seduce us into either being a Renfield or sucking our blood, then in the case of John Barnett, Boeing would come out and say, look, this looks really bad. The optics on this are really bad. We will pay for a full investigation. We'll make sure that no resource is beyond reach for the investigation. And we will stand beside the investigation and make sure that, to the best of our efforts, no stone is left unturned, because we don't want anyone thinking that we had anything to do with Barnett's suicide, air quotes. You know, it's just the perfect crime. Does he kill himself in his room? Nope. They, you know, call the police apparently for a wellness check, and they show up and he's in his car, of course. Are there cameras? Probably not. How, you know, come on. Really? Of course he's not in his room. And there's a note on the seat. It's all weird. If you read the, you know, what the police said, it's ridiculous. What, you know, something like, I mean, it's all ridiculous. So, you know, if the world really worked the way we thought and we suspected, then Boeing would say, we will pay whatever costs are necessary for a full independent investigation into John Barnett's death. We'll make sure the public knows far and wide. By the way, in the episode in question, again, you know, the National Intel Report, what do you call it? Special selection last night from March 28, 2018. We talked about the influence of the media. I mentioned during that broadcast that the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 affords, you know, basically appropriates funds to propagandize the American people. But so, you know, we were talking about the mainstream press and how I said that it doesn't shrink. It can't, because, you know, if CNN shrinks, there's no legitimacy or authority. And that's the Salvatore Natoli quote. In our society, we unconsciously equate size with importance and even power. And I would say authority. But then we come to find out that Bill Gates has been underwriting mainstream media also. Remember that article, $319 million, particularly through the COVID era? So, you know, get what you pay for, I guess. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilji. Fact bit number one. What goes in must come out. Whatever we ingest, breathe in, or transfer by contact must be expelled. Expelled directly as burned calories, through perspiration, respiration, or expelled via urinary and gastric channels. Every element that is not properly used or removed by our bodies become toxins. And toxins, as we know, are causal to every disease and ailment. Toxins are what makes us subpar, unable to be at our best. Be your healthy best by cleansing your body of daily and deeply embedded toxins. Live stronger, and we hope live longer. Shilajit, legit Shilajit, that is, like Colorado Shilajit, is perhaps the greatest homeopathic whole body remover of toxins made by Mother Earth.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
This really is a great place. There's a lot of great stuff on RBN. One break ago, a few commercials ago, you heard Jeffrey Bennett talking about Alan Greenspan. I laugh because, you know, Alan gets in trouble because he just, you know, he can't help himself. Out of the horse's mouth sometimes. He says the darndest things. Oh, my goodness. So, Jeffrey Bennett mentioned Golden Economic Freedom, written by Greenspan back in 1966, originally appeared in The Objectivist and was reprinted in Ayn Rand's Capitalism, The Unknown Ideal. Ayn Rand was a plant. You know, the idea that, well, we should play the Tex Mars clip on Ayn Rand. Anyway, you know, money is the root of all evil. No, that's a way to throw the rest of us off the scent. As Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, let me just go there, lest I... For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. This is the NASB 95. The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. There you go, the love of money. We'll go to the phones in a second, but first, speaking of Greenspeak and the crazy things that Alan says or has said over the years, and you know how this money thing works. If there's not gold, what did Alan say back in 1966? Let's put these three things together. So I'll give you the quote from Golden Economic Freedom, and we'll, you know, in the absence of that, what happens? Alan tells us, which is crazy. And then there's that clip that we play from time to time. We've played it over the years. It's from investopedia.com. And if I go to that page today, I get 500 server error. Sorry. I'm sorry, Dave. The page you're looking for is unavailable. But you know what? Lucky me. I ripped a copy of it some time back. And so we have a copy of it. So what did Alan say in Golden Economic Freedom? He wrote in 1966, in the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. What is inflation? Simply put, it's just printing more of whatever the currency is. So in this case, you know, let's call it Federal Reserve notes. But, you know, it could be information. In the information age, do we value information more? Give you a better example, perhaps. When we used to have to go down to the drugstore, or you know what, before that, when you had to mail your pictures off to get them developed, and you had to wait days or sometimes weeks to get them back, unless you, you know, created your own darkroom or whatever to develop film, we valued the pictures more, didn't we? We had photo albums and things. Then Costco said, you know what, we'll develop your pictures for you. And people were excited. Then all of a sudden, you know, they had those bins in the front or the back of the store. And you had to, you know, it was like greeting grandma at the airport. It was fun to go and grab your photos and maybe look at them there or look at them as you went through the store. But now, you know, then along came the digital stuff, and now we have pictures coming out the wazoo. They're everywhere. So do we value them more? That's what inflation does. The currency in that case is photos. So we don't value them more. They're worth less to us. That's what inflation does. You make more of it, it's valued less. Scarcity means it's valued more. So anyway, Greenspan wrote, in the absence of the gold standard, there is no way to protect savings from confiscation through inflation. There is no safe store of value. If there were, the government would have to make its holding illegal, as was done in the case of gold. You know, back to 33, but fast forward to Nixon, August 15, 1971, and they closed the gold window because France is like, wait a minute. You're telling me I can give you this worthless paper and say, give me my gold, give me my actual money. Here's some paper. You know what? Wheelbarrow, truckloads, shiploads of paper. Here, take all the paper. We got lots of paper. And so the gold window was closed. Anyway, so Greenspan wrote, if everyone decided, for example, to convert all his bank deposits, which is what France was doing, to silver or copper or any other good, and thereafter decline to accept checks as, and by checks he means Federal Reserve notes, decline to accept checks as payment for goods, bank deposits would lose their purchasing power. And by the way, the Federal Reserve admits the Federal Reserve note, aka dollar, has zero value. It has purchasing power. Bank deposits would lose their purchasing power, and government created bank credit would be worthless as a claim on goods. Financial policy of the welfare state requires that there be no way for the owners of wealth to protect themselves. This is the shabby secret of the welfare state's tirades against gold. Deficit spending is simply a scheme for the confiscation of wealth. What's been happening in the last 20 years, pray tell, in this regard? Gold stands in the way of this insidious process. It stands as a protector of property rights. If one grasps this, one has no difficulty in understanding the statist antagonism toward the gold standard. This and the military-industrial complex go hand in hand, by the way. And so back to my point about, you know, do it for free. If Patrick Claussen really thought that it was important that, you know, someone get us to war, as Mr. Bordop pointed out, then back to a few good men, like Jack Nicholson says, like Colonel Jessup says, then Patrick Claussen, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. You first, Patrick Claussen. Anyway, the two bits. Alan Greenspan says the darndest things. This clip is on YouTube. It's titled Greenspan U.S. Can... Well, you know what? I'm not even going to say it. You just got to hear it. He actually said this on Meet the Press. Go ahead, please.
I can't tell whether one is the other. But considering the momentum in which the market went down over the last week, it is very unlikely, if history is any guide, that this isn't going to take a while to bottom out. So the initial reaction, in my judgment, is going to be negative.
Are U.S. Treasury bonds still safe to invest in?
Very much so. I think there's a... This is not an issue of credit rating. The United States can pay any debt it has because we can always print money to do that. So there is zero probability of default.
Dang. Where's the emoji? Head explodes. He actually said that. Can you imagine if you could do that? Nah, I'm not. There's zero probability I will default because I can just print more money anytime I want. By the way, speaking of ratings, you know, this is a few years ago. It's about 15 years ago that he said that. And do you remember around the same time that there was, you know, there was an issue with the rating agencies because they were in bed, obviously, with, you know, when we had the mortgage-backed security situation and everything was being leveraged and they were rubber stamping everything, which reminds me of the Tommy Boy line. You know, I can take a dump in a box and stamp it guaranteed. That's what the rating agencies were doing. That's, you know, all. It's just the confidence game. That's all this is. Anyway, before we go to the phones, quickly, can we just play the other one? Fractional reserve banking.
Fractional reserve banking is the banking system most countries use today. It requires banks to hold only a fraction of the money their customers deposit. That amount is the reserve requirement, and in most countries, it is set by the central bank. Banks can loan the rest of their deposits to other customers, which serves to expand the economy. It works like this. Banks accept deposits from individuals and businesses, providing them with savings and checking accounts in return. Banks can loan out the bulk of those deposits to other customers to buy homes or cars, start businesses, or to fund other projects. If a customer deposits $100,000 into a bank and the reserve requirement is 5%, the bank can loan $95,000 out to other customers. Once the bank has loaned out $95,000, it in essence has created $195,000. Customers borrow that $95,000 and deposit some or all of it into other banks. If the reserve requirement is still 5%, then the other banks can loan $90,250 to new customers, and the process keeps repeating itself. Financial crisis occurs when the fractional banking system breaks down and the money supply does not expand. Many U.S. banks had to shut down during the Great Depression because so many people attempted to withdraw their money at the same time. Today, safeguards exist to prevent such an occurrence.
So if it doesn't keep expanding, then the system breaks down. That was an Investopedia video that got taken down, apparently, because I can't find it anywhere else on Investopedia. But fortunately, I made a copy. That's how the fractional reserve banking, which is an oxymoron, that's how that system, and it was titled How Money is Created. But it's not really money, is it? Like Jefferson said, paper is the ghost of money, and Paper is poverty. It's the ghost of money, not money itself. Anyway, to the phones, right? James in Vancouver, thanks for calling. Welcome. Yeah, fictional reserve banking, exactly. Well said, sir.
So that's what they call leveraging, right?
Yeah. Well, and in the subprime contagion, everything got leveraged, you know? I mean, in simple terms, it was like, hey, I have a credit card payment. Do you want to, can I, you know, can I leverage this? And that sounds insane on a small level, on a small scale, but that's what was going on.
Well, banks get to do that, you see, but the average person doesn't get to do that because then the system wouldn't work right. But I was going to say there's a precedent for leaving weapons behind. We did that in World War II. All the weapons we had in Okinawa, half went to Korea and the other half went to Vietnam. That's what the French, or that's what the Vietnamese used to defeat the French, apparently, according to Fletcher Prouty.
Yeah.
So it's a statement of foreign policy, which of course is obviously you you want to get rid of war. That's the idea. But in fact, it's creating war. And you ever notice the military never solves the problem? They simply file the problem.
That's okay. We have a solution to that. And I feel like we keep going back to James Corbett's How and Why Big Oil Conquered the World and William Devil Bill Avery Livingston Rockefeller, the original snake oil salesman. That's okay. We have a cure for that too. That's how it works.
And you notice the last scene in the movie Shooter is what? The couple of bad guys are getting away in the 67 Chevelle going down the road in Montana or someplace like that.
after the good sitting senator and his entourage take a dirt nap.
Yeah, after we shot them all up. Yeah, we got it in our Chevelle, 69 or 67, 396.
Yeah.
Straight down that road toward the mountains. Looks a lot like Montana or Wyoming.
In the snow, no less, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, but, that was a good movie. I liked it a lot. I think there's a lot of it that's actually true.
Hard to roast those Chevelle tires in the snow.
And also, Positrack. I like that, that device they used for people to suicide themselves. I thought that was a pretty good scene.
Yeah, absolutely. And he says, who thinks this stuff up? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hey, that's my gun. Yeah. You know.
It sure is. Yeah. So, you know, when I think of the situation, you know, things like John Barnett and his car, you know, I had a conversation. I had a conversation with somebody about the Barnett thing. And so he's where was he in Charlotte? I want to say, I forget, but he's out of town and he's there for depositions about the Boeing thing.
Yeah.
And he stays over. Apparently he was supposed to check out on the 6th, I think. Anyway, he's there. He's checking out on the morning of the 9th, apparently. And, you know, the way, you know, so I had this conversation with a person who doesn't really know anything about this stuff and definitely doesn't go as far down the rabbit hole as, say, you or I. And I said, so, you know, what do you think about this? This person says, so wait a minute. Was he from there? No. Okay, so he traveled to another town, hung out, did depositions, and then killed himself while he was there. So he left home. He went somewhere else to kill himself? I said, yeah, that's the story. No way. It's ridiculous. Exactly.
Well, the question might be to ask is, how come he hung out for the extra days? Who did he meet there? This is one thing you want to do. Yeah.
And whose shiny pistol was it in his lap? You know, and like you said, you know, is there, I don't know, is there a gap in the residue anywhere? Yeah. Probably.
Well, I can only say it had to be a woman, see?
Yeah, very, very well said.
That's the, so she got to him, and whatever, and then the harness was put on or whatever.
That's the ancient way to do it.
Yeah.
Yep. Seduction is very effective.
I thought I'd give you a call because yesterday I couldn't make the whole show. Those are my pet crows you hear. I couldn't make the whole show, so today I thought I'd better call in and check with you. So, all right.
So how are the students
doing?
We'll
talk to you soon. Yeah. The students? Oh, yeah. Well, we're all on break right now. And yeah. I got my brand new copy of The Origin of Species to check out what Darwin's saying. I read a short essay by Darwin, but it's not the full book.
Yeah.
And Darwin does mention diversity, but I'll have to check and see the details. The thing, it's a fairly technical book. It's, I think, more than 15 chapters. This will be my own kind of self-education. And the kids, we'll wait and see when they come back from break and
My curiosity is piqued when we, after that Oxford comma, natural selection is one thing, but, the preservation of favored races in the struggle for life, who decides what constitutes favored races?
Well, this Haitian thing that's happening, I think they're being sent to America. I don't think there's exactly the revolution going on there or some kind of gangs type of thing. I think it's another Venezuela thing. Remember Vietnam, we had boat people, right?
Yeah.
And after all the other wars that happened after Vietnam, the people we were bombing were ending up on our shores, I believe.
Funny how that works. Coercive engineered migration, and then there's the guilt of whatever.
Well, the generals, for example, when the weapons are left in Afghanistan like that, I believe the generals are making money off what's called affectionately the toys.
Yeah.
Right? Job doesn't pay much, like the CIA guy says in Doonesbury, but you get to keep the toys. See? So.
Exactly. And, so I mentioned Kit Clarenberg's article about Ukraine. Ukrainian trial demonstrates 2014 Maidan massacre was false flag. And he refers to Sergei Pashinsky as the guy who is selling stuff over and over until the final buyer is Ukraine's military, who pays the most. So you just keep. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and another thing you can take heart on is once they run out of 155 millimeter ammunition, they probably won't be able to get any more for a while. Because this is how it works. I used to call it C-130 diplomacy. You take the C-130, load it up. Maybe I told you, right? You fly over some country in Africa and you drop just enough weapons, brand new and ammo, for the rebels to attack the palace
for the Mogadishu moment,
whatever. And the thing about it is these guys in the deep state CIA, they can sign for a C-130 and the supplies anytime they want. There's a middle management in the military, may not be the generals, all of them, but certainly just under the top brass. Mm-hmm. Is a secret cabal.
Yeah.
And Kay Griggs, you remember Kay Griggs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she talked about that in her seven or 8 hours of deposition.
Yeah. And
Did you ever see that on the internet?
Prouty also, speaking of, you mentioned Prouty earlier. I mean, he told us all about 40 committee activity and stuff.
Yeah. stuff like that. Yeah.
And in the modern era, definitely. I mean, that's what guys like Kofor Black represent.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of it's
I don't yeah.
A lot of it's outsourced.
Yeah.
Privatized so that there's plausible deniability. Yeah.
Another name I heard is Tosh Plumlee. Apparently he was involved in that, according to when I was listening to Alex Jones, but I don't listen to him anymore. But okay. You are a broadcast journalist now, so you have to be
I'm definitely not a performance artist, that's for sure.
Well, I love that term. I'm a broadcast journalist. Well, then you are. We can come to your house. we can help you with your journalism, but I'm being sarcastic. Suicide thing. What was that guy, Gary Webb? A bunch of other guys shot themselves twice.
Yeah.
So
there was also that guy who said June 28, 2001, they're going to try to blame something. We ought to play that sometime. We play that every once in a while. You know, the largest military or the largest intelligence apparatus in the entire world can't find this guy in a cave, and some doofus jerk off reporter and a camera crew goes and interviews him.
Oh yeah.
And he said, if the Mossad can't find him, you know, something's up. And then he said, they're going to do something. They're going to blame it on him. Don't you believe it? And he was dead in his front yard by November of 2001.
He was it? Wow.
Yep. Shot by local. Yeah.
By local. Yeah.
By the police.
Now, have you been seeing any flux of Venezuelan illegals or whatever you want to call them into Montana? Have you seen any?
Yeah.
Because I've seen them up here.
It's everywhere. Yep. Which is right. Interesting. Okay. You know, again, we don't have money for certain things, but we sure have that kind of stuff is happening. Yep. And there are news articles how to get along.
I'm two blocks away from a 5-star hotel. And about a couple of weeks ago, just before the spring break, there were students, there was a riot in front of the hotel, and there's black people yelling and screaming some kind of Hutu, what do you call it? Some kind of language, chant. They were chanting. Anyway, and the cops were there. I'll let you go, sir.
Well, I don't know about you, James, but I identify as a Venezuelan refugee, and that means I'm going to stay in a 5-star hotel. So,
well, all right, I'll stay with you. All right, take care.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated, as always. Folks, I hope it was informative, perhaps even edifying. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.